Welcome back, everybody, to the Dom and Colin podcast for some continued coverage of the Challenge Double Agent. We've got another episode in the books, a shorter episode, and let's see what we can make out of this one here today. Of course, I am Matt, as always, with my co-host, Brian Scally. Scally, how you doing?
Hello. Yeah, shorter episode. At least we're back on track, is what I have to say about that. I'm glad we ended with the elimination. I'm glad it was only an hour and not an hour and a half.
Yes.
So, you know, last week's shorter, like, less content. There was still some interesting stuff here. I was a little bored with this one, but it was fine. And I'm still, like, feeling like we have a good direction for the rest of the season.
Yeah, the shorter runtime is definitely not something that I'm upset about by any means. I know we've talked about this before, but just when they decided to do hour and a half episodes, I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, we've always wanted more, but it's just, you kind of have to be careful what you wish for, because then when you have every episode that has to be 90 minutes, a lot of them drag out, and, you know, that's just all part of the deal there. So yeah, I will not complain about just a regular old 44 minutes with no commercials episode every once in a while. It's a nice pleasant surprise, and not much was happening here this week. Obviously, we're working our way towards the final in, I don't know, a couple of episodes from now. So just kind of chipping away at those final pieces to get off the board before we get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely in that part of the season where, you know, this is, like Nani says, this is where she goes into eliminations. Like, we get here pretty much every season, and it's fine. It's not the most exciting. I would be happier, to be honest, if, like, the 90 minutes are good for the first however many weeks, but like the nights out in the bubble, like, there's only so many people here. There's not going to be that much going on. We don't need a full hour and a half.
Yeah.
So, like, I would be fine with the rest of the episodes being an hour, even if you wanted to make the final 90 minutes or something. Like, when you don't need it, it would, you know, they have ridiculousness ready to throw on. So I can't imagine it's too tough of a schedule adjustment for them.
Yeah, for sure. I meant to talk about this last week, but I forgot. We were so busy chatting it up with Colin. Just in case anybody is, like, paying attention to our normal release schedule, they probably have noticed at this point that we've been putting episodes out a little bit later than usual, because now we're recording them a little bit later than usual, kind of all over the place. I ended up going back to work a couple weeks ago, so that's why we're recording. We've been the past 2 weeks on Sundays, we've been doing this, and then, you know, getting it up pretty soon after. But the benefit of that is that when news comes in challenge related a couple days later, hopefully we're not forgetting by the time we record, because news came out this week about one of our current players. We got another challenge daddy here in the mix.
Oh, what a way to phrase.
I mean, or you could just say we have somebody that's going to be a parent, but that's just not as exciting.
Yeah, there you go.
So, Kyle. Kyle Christie.
Look at that. Ah, Kyle, been in a, you know, decently long-term relationship at this point, despite that not really making a big impact on the show. So congrats to Kyle and his partner. But yeah.
I don't think it'll affect much. I feel like he's definitely still going to be around for next season at the very least. Maybe the season after, because I don't know. Well, I have no idea how far along. Are they married? Is it girlfriend, wife? Who knows? His partner. I don't know how far along she is, but assuming that the baby is not due in the, you know, next coming months, I assume he'll be on the next season. And obviously, this is all I care about right now. I mean, yeah, exciting about the baby. Colin will be proud about the way that I'm approaching this commentary. But I mean, as far as two seasons from now, who knows? Maybe we'll get a break from him eventually. Not that I want one, but it has been many consecutive seasons. We talked about that last week. I don't know. But that's the news.
Yeah, it's possible. I think they're dating. Okay. Unless I missed a, you know, engagement here or there. But I trust you to keep me updated on those things. So I think that's correct.
Yeah, like you mentioned after we found out the news, throwback to when people thought that he and Melissa had hooked up and the baby might have been his.
Yes. So we have thought that Kyle was a daddy before this, you know, so this time it's confirmed.
This time it's his. This time it's confirmed. So, yeah, that's what's going on outside of the house. Not a whole... Not me knocking everything over. Not a whole lot else going on outside of the house, as far as I could tell from this week. We were talking to Allie. She even thought that they might be off filming right now because it has been relatively quiet. I know that I said last week as well, the reunion filmed recently, so that's in the books, and they're probably all just, you know, I don't know, getting ready, training and stuff for whenever they do fly out. So I don't know when that's happening, but that is the vibe that I'm getting from this cast here, as we decide, you know, we start to see who is going to be back and who's not. And before we get into the episode, because trust me, this, you know, anybody listening, there's not much to get into. Casey on the Tori and Anissa podcast, I kind of wanted to talk about that more than we usually talk about the podcast. Did you listen to it?
I did listen to it, but I think, as you might expect with a Casey appearance, it wasn't getting 100% of my attention. So I would say that it was probably better than expected, but I'm excited to see what you've picked out from it.
I picked out a lot of tension that I don't know if I expected. There was just like, so first of all, here's the thing. The Tori and Anissa podcast, to me, and I love both of them probably more than most people do. I think that's been the stance that I've taken on them for the majority of our time podcasting about them. I just like them a lot, and that's why I'm enjoying the podcast. But it's still, I'm calling them out on this, that like every person that goes on their podcast is just the two of them sucking up to that person. Even if they're friends, it just feels like they are already playing season 37. They know that they're going to be there, and they're just every person that comes on. I love this person. I love them so much, and I think they're awesome. I think they're great. I want to get to know more about them and their game and whatnot. And it's like, I mean, yeah, that's the obvious thing to do given the platform that they have. But it's like, I don't know. I felt there was a bit of tension between them and Casey, considering Casey was a big factor in getting Tori out so early. Like the whole, you know, Big Brother Alliance there and the rookies, they were all banding together for a bit. They got Tori out, and there was just like some awkward tension in the air while they were like, well, Casey was like, well, you guys were excluding yourselves, and you know, and they were like, yeah.
See, that's interesting. I don't know if it's probably the combination of listening in 2x, so it's like you don't get those awkward pauses, and like I said, throwing it about 75 to 80% of my attention.
Yeah, fair enough.
While doing a couple other things, I didn't pick up quite as much on that tension, but it could make sense. One thing I really do like, yeah, like you've said, you are a bigger, particularly Tori fan than I am, mm-hmm. but I like their rapport in terms of like they are really good friends, but that also leads to a little bit of groupthink from the podcast in general. They kind of have like pretty similar opinions on most people, and so if that is a negative opinion or even just like a little bit of a distant one, then I can see how that's going to create some problems.
Yeah, it was just all about, you know, they were like praising Casey while she was there, talking about how, you know, smart of a player she is. They were like, oh, you keep everything so close to the chest, right? Like everything that you play, like you're so good at the game, and like heavily complimenting her on a lot of different aspects of her game, stuff that she brought in from Big Brother. But like it just all felt like things that have been directly affecting maybe even Anissa as well, but definitely Tori in as far as like working with her goes, with Casey goes. And they were like, yeah, this is kind of, it just felt like they were like explaining as to like all the different things that have prevented them from ever kind of linking up in the game. And you know, it's always with that energy in the air of like, well, next season's starting, so maybe we can make it happen then. But also, I don't know, I and I'm totally could be reading into this too much, but Casey made a comment being like, yeah, you know, if I'm there, if I'm not, who knows. So I was like, is she not getting a call? Like Josh came into Challenge Mania being like, I am gonna be there essentially, but Casey was like, yeah, you know, if I'm there, cool, if I'm not, whatever.
Yeah, I wonder if she's just someone who plays the cards close to the vest.
Yeah.
Also, Casey may know what it's like to be removed from a cast at the last minute, so true. Maybe she's not counting on anything necessarily, whereas Josh does not seem to be quite so conservative with his like claims in general, so that could make sense as well. I would not be upset for the break, but I would be kind of surprised.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I don't think I expect it to happen, but I guess maybe they're just, I don't know, maybe they've not made it sound like she's 100% a lock to go there yet. I don't know. I have no idea. It just something that I thought I was picking up on, and we'll see in a couple of weeks when they do fly out if it was anything real or not. I don't know.
Can't wait for the new cast. That's the thing about like the challenge is so fun at the beginning, and then towards the end I'm like, Okay, so who's on next season?
That's why The Draft is my favorite podcast of every season, to like be able to think ahead to whatever is about to come, knowing, you know, how things are finishing out the end of the season. Like, that's definitely, I mean, look at the Winners at War preseason. We had so much fun, and then the season started and we were like, bleh.
Yep. No, I mean, I will still enjoy the rest of the season, and like, I think it's playing out well. It's interesting. The dynamics are good. I'm excited to watch it, but there's nothing like finding out the new cast, even if it's 90% of the same people that we're already talking
about. Still worth it. Yeah, it's
I just want to know.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I want to see who's out there. I want to see that, you know, Teresa name pop up, whether it's, you know, Teresa especially, or just whoever the other, you know, veteran player mm-hmm. that hasn't been on in a while. It was Darrell this season as well. I want to see who's going to be back, who's going to be out there, and, you know, spend way too much time speculating about how it's all going to go. And, you know, getting to, I don't know, kind of introduce yourself to some of the new faces and whatnot, and, you know, just be sending all the good vibes out to Big T while she's out there. So, you know. Preseason
definitely that
coming up. So
yeah, especially we're theorizing maybe some of the OGs get pulled over to the main series. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see.
Yeah, me too. The other final piece that I can talk about before we actually get to challenge episode content is we don't spend a whole lot of time in the after show as well. We usually just reference it you know, here and there, but I don't know if I've asked you yet what your thoughts are on the little game that they play at the end of each challenge after show. It feels like the biggest waste of time ever to me, but what do you think?
I may have X'd out the video before I finished this week's one.
I don't believe so
you. That tells you about how I feel about the games. They're fine. I could watch them on like 4X and get the same amount of enjoyment out of them.
Please don't tell me you've ever done that.
I don't know if I've ever gone to 4.
I've definitely watched done Twitch streams plus. Back on like 3.5X or like 3 to 3.5 if it's just like I'm trying to like mm-hmm. hear what was said in this stream, go all the way through it in like, you know, 30 minutes. I've done that, but a challenge after show at that point, no, but whatever.
Yeah, I don't think, no, not on a challenge after show. I've definitely gone to the 2X. Like, that is I'm here for the content, not the good times.
When I was going back to work, I was like, I really think I just might need to become a 2X person because I've always been 1.5 for like years and years now. I think there was a time where I dipped back into 1X and I was like, this is not for me.
That's wild.
So I went back to 1.5 and that's just where I stay. But then trying 2X was like pretty much right when I started back at work a couple weeks ago. And I was like, I'm really just not picking up on what they're talking about. And I was like, at this point, you know, and people say that all the time about like when you listen on faster speeds, like what are you even getting out of it? Like at 1.5, I feel like I get everything I need to. But 2X, for me at least, it's just my brain was not ready to handle all that. So maybe once in a while, but I think I'm going to stick with the 1.5 for now.
Yeah, I can remember my 1X days and then it went to 1.5 and now I'm solidly at 2. I can't imagine going back. So I'm sure that if I had, you know, taken a long break, gone back to the 1.5 days like you have, then it would be an adjustment again. But you get used to it. It's not too bad.
Shout out to Matt Gagan. Famously was on 1X for the longest time. We somehow worked him into 1.5 and I think he's been on 2 at times.
Wow. In the past
couple months.
I missed the 2
update. Yeah. So. That's that.
I can't find time for even all the 2X, so I don't know how you could.
I've also started to take a serious hard look at my feed and say, what can I get rid of? I'm so sorry to announce that I did have to take out Office Ladies from my, you know, weekly run. I love the Office Ladies. I think it's a great time, but it's just not something that I needed in my weekly lineup. And this is a big deal for me, taking out a show that I listen to weekly. So I hope everybody, you know, can give me a silent round of applause as I make that big step
there
in my life.
I cut it. I have not listened to it since the pandemic, sadly. So it is there for me one day when I get to it. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, I don't have the time right now.
Recently was binging. We could just keep talking about everything besides the challenge. Was binging all of the Dom and Colin patron Kageyan podcasts. And I think I'm about to hit the finale of that one. So that's what I've been using in the rare times where there's nothing else in the feed because, again, there's not that many times. But when it does happen, I slide those in there. There's a lot.
My problem now is because I hit the other day and I was like, I have nothing to listen. Not that I have nothing to listen to, but I didn't feel like going back like to the things that I've been out on for a while. Mm-hmm. But I'm behind on TV now, too. So I'm not even able to listen to the recaps that I want to. It's been a problem.
There are times where I find myself listening to three different pieces of content at once. I will have like, especially during this Survivor rewatching that I've been doing, following along with Rob and everything over there. I'll have a Survivor episode up. Sometimes I will have maybe a podcast playing, or no, you know what it usually is. I think it'll be like if there's a Twitch stream on, like if one of our friends is on Twitch and I want to, you know, have an eye on, you know, whatever they're doing. I will have a Twitch stream open, maybe on like my laptop or maybe on my phone. I don't even know. Every day is different of what devices I use. But then I'll also be editing a podcast. Usually, you know, some of the choir room stuff I will be editing at the same time. So I will literally find myself doing all three at once, and I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah,
why?
I can do the two. Like, I'm jumping back and forth, especially Twitch streams. Like, I'm good. We got to give your friends the views. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the three is a lot.
It's not all the time, but every once in a while I've found myself doing this. And I'm like, wow, you're feeling bold today.
Yeah, handling three audio streams at once but not handling one on 2X is interesting.
Because when I'm listening to a podcast – it's like, because I mean, just for the example of like when I was doing the 2X, I was literally at work and I was trying to do stuff there. So I was trying to focus on whatever I was doing. And I was like, I can't hear them. I just can't. And I also had the volume too low. If I had the earpod in, maybe it would have helped. I don't know. It wasn't working out. But I understand. Yeah, it's a crazy thought to be doing three things at once. I probably shouldn't make it a habit. But I don't know. This is just the world that we're living in. I hope that our, you know, the next generations are born with, you know, maybe four eyes and 4 years to be able to make this all better.
Can't wait to live that long so I can experience it myself. That will be great.
True. You famously will be, you know, the same age you are now whenever the time comes for all that.
Great plan. Can't wait.
Anyway. But yeah. Should we talk about the challenge?
I guess so.
Okay, fine. No follow-up on the Big T and CT drama.
Yeah. I kind of feel like you could have it, but we also left it at the point where, like, it doesn't need to come up until it's relevant again. Mm-hmm. It's not like CT or Big T were actually going to find themselves into an elimination this week. So maybe next week, where it is potentially another women's elimination or it's a guy's elimination, does Big T want to really rally the troops, use her social capital against CT? Maybe it comes up then, but this week was so straightforward, I didn't see really where there was an opportunity for it.
Yeah, as far as the way that this whole episode played out, it was so straightforward. Everything. Mm-hmm. Like, they had this planned from, I don't know, from probably the last Women's Elimination Day, that they knew that both Nani and Gabby and Big T were the ones that still had no skull. That Big T, at this point, is a rogue agent. She's not eligible to go in, but it seemed like, you know, Nani's been working with all these people, and she knew that they all were on the same page of trying to get her down there for her skull. And, I mean, Gabby also relatively connected to that group by the Fessy Association. So it just seemed like it was like they had agreed upon this at what point. Gabby and Nani didn't have any kind of like alliance throughout the game where, you know, going against each other would ruin them both going to the final together. So it just seemed like this was an agreed upon thing, and they just went ahead and made it happen because that's the way that the game is currently set up to operate.
Yeah, maybe I am tired of the skulls. I have been expecting this elimination since episode 10. I really thought that we might have gotten it there, even. So, for whatever reason, I kind of felt like Nani versus Gabby was being set up a little bit in the narrative once it was proven that we will not be getting Nani versus Teresa. So, I'm glad that it's over with, but it was, you know, not even just this one episode was it obvious. It was coming down the pipeline for quite a while.
Mm-hmm. I might have lied. We have a guest on today's podcast. My cat will not leave me alone today. So in case you hear any meowing in the background, that is what you're hearing there. I want to not bury the lead here, though, because as much as it bothers me, not bothers me, as much as it affects me negatively in our must-lose draft with Brian and Allie, Nani Gonzalez, elimination queen.
That is a statement.
I mean, Nani Gonzalez won an elimination. I'm happy for her. I'm very happy for her. I, you know, how many seasons in a row am I going to sit here talking about, you know, she goes to the final, or she goes right before the final and she, you know, goes out every single time. Like, as much as it's like exhausting to say the same thing over and over again and just, you know, not be able to change any analysis towards her because that's what we get from her. I'm sure it's been even more frustrating for her to be the one going through that and to be every season. And, like, she puts her all into it for the most part in the challenges. How many times do people comment, Nani is underestimated. She goes hard in these challenges. She wants to win. She has been, you know, putting a lot of effort into this for, you know, the past couple seasons of just wanting to get there. By the time she gets to this point in the season and she goes in because she has to, or for whatever reason now, you know, now she has to get her skull, and then it ends up not working out. And we get to the elimination, and I might as well just, we'll cut ahead to that a little bit here because I'm already on it. Gabby gets the first win in that round in the elimination, and you're like, oh my God, it's happening again. It's really happening again. And then she found the strength to, you know, go ahead and, you know, not let it happen again. So Nani does end up winning her first elimination, and I don't know how many years she said, but it's been many years since before she came back.
The funniest way that I've seen it put was, this is Nani's first win since the Obama administration.
Oh no.
So it's been a long time.
Oh no. Yeah. No, that makes sense. It's been a while, but she did it, and I'm very happy for her. I've always been, you know, in her corner rooting for her, even if I'm not, like, you know, she's not my favorite person on the season, but I'm happy to see her succeed.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely happy for it to have happened. As far as the elimination, I would be curious to, not that I think it's a major height difference, but this elimination very much favors even an extra inch or two in terms of height. So I was kind of looking there, but, you know, if we had had, like, I'm trying to even think of some of the size matchups. I don't know, like Amber M versus, like, Cam. Like, this, not that any matchup or any elimination would not have been, like, a very weighted matchup in Cam's favor, but, like, the height is just, you know, Lolo versus any other, like, strong competitor. The height is a major factor here, so I am happy for Nani. I am enjoying seeing, at least, you know, we're going to get a different storyline from her. I'm curious to see if she can back it up in a final, like, has been promised, which I do think that she will be fine. But I would have been just as happy with Gabby winning, to be honest, also.
So have we talked about this? I can't remember. So there's 5 gold skulls for each side, right? Do we assume that they're going to the final with 10 people? Or are they going to say, like, once they get there, maybe, like, there's a first step where one from each side gets taken out?
Yeah, I can very much see it being, was that last season, right? Where it was like, okay, this is, like, day one of the final, and, oh, there's one more elimination.
But that was weird because there was more guys than girls, right? With the whole Rogan situation when he went out there, it was like, I don't know why we went into the final with an uneven amount anyway, but...
Yeah, I definitely think that we're probably going to get to 10 and go to the final, but I don't think that anyone is going to end up getting cut because they don't have a skull. I'm sure Big T will get her chance, but I think that likely... we are going to have 10 people in this final to start.
Yeah, I mean, Big T has to be able to get in at this point, because why would any other setup make sense of, like, you know, all these other people that have their gold skulls? It just doesn't seem like it's going to be somebody with a gold skull, obviously, you know, has to, and Big T will take the other spot. So, you know, obviously we're all going to be rooting for Big T to take it, although it's going to be tough if it's like, I don't know where I'm going to end up rooting for. If it's like Big T versus Cam, I want to see Cam success, but I also love Big T, but also Big T will have plenty more seasons, and this is an important one for Cam and Leroy. So I don't know. We don't have to talk about that yet. But,
yeah, that's the only matchup where it's even a question for me. I'm still siding Big T, but yeah, the other ones, rooting for Big T all the way. And I think she has a shot against some people there, especially depending on the elimination. I would be interested. I don't think it is as likely to happen on the women's side, and I don't think this is going to happen on the men's side, but theoretically you could throw in, I'm picking two names off the board, you could throw in Leroy versus Fessy, and then one of those gold skulls, like, gets basically eliminated, and then Corey is left without one. I don't think that's going to happen, but at least theoretically you could still box someone out if you really wanted to, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. I just feel like given the setup at the house of the house right now, mm-hmm. like they're going to all be so, you know, sticking together, wanting to make sure that they get to the final. At this point, it's like, you know,
for sure.
I don't know that there's anybody left on at least the guy's side of things where it's like this person we cannot let get to the end. Like, I don't mm-hmm. know. You look at somebody like people always talk about like OCT is a big threat in the final. It's like, yeah, sure. But also you're all so much younger than him at this point. Like, I don't know that they'd be deathly afraid of CT. So, you know, there's that. If there was still like a Natalie or a Lolo in the house on the women's side, then you would have something like that. Maybe, you know, maybe they would have to make a plan to get rid of that situation. My cat is now on the TV. Can you get down? What are you doing? I don't know what I was saying. Go Big T.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you're Cam and Leroy and you really like the focus of this season is to get Leroy his win before he retires, like I can see some benefit in like CT and Fessy, like, I never need you in the future. Sorry. Screwing you over. Don't want you in the final. Or, like, Fessy versus Durrell, even though I know Leroy is a little closer to Durrell, I would say, than the other two. Like, I see the benefit in trying to box someone like that out of a final, but I also don't think that is in Leroy's, like, playbook. Maybe right. It's in Cam's, but I don't think it's in Leroy's.
So we'll see about how all that plays out. But final thoughts on Gabby? Anything... I mean, obviously, I think we enjoyed her throughout the season. She brought a lot to at least she was all over the confessionals. They obviously used her a lot on that end of things. I know that somebody had tweeted us asking us if we thought that she could be used as like the new Georgia that they were looking for, yeah. You know, a couple seasons back, which I know we responded to that one as well. But just I mean, along the, you know, the general guideline of that. Yeah, no, they definitely, I think. Enjoyed having Gabby out there. I would be very surprised, I think, at this point, if she wasn't on the next season, given how this season she seemed to go out with, like, you know, I made, you know, I have this connection with Fessy. I played a hard game. People kept hyping her up about how strong she is, how she's not to be underestimated. I feel like we definitely get a second season out of her. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, I think. I don't know. I have no issues with it.
If you had to guess in terms of, like, 1 through, what did we start with, 28? The cast mm-hmm. members, like where Gabby falls on her cumulative number of confessionals right now, where do you think she falls?
1 through 28? Definitely towards the top, because we know that there was that time where we were like, she had like the most confessionals in an episode since,
true.
Was it like Wes or somebody? So definitely towards the top. I mean, definitely top half. Is it top 10? I wouldn't be surprised. I'll go bold and say top 10.
Yeah, she's number 6.
Okay, yeah.
So, like, I am not 100% on Gabby coming back, but I feel pretty good about it. I was not overly excited to have her on the season as a rookie. Probably of the rookies that I knew of, she was the least I was excited for. She was fine on Love Island, perfectly likable. Same on Celebrity Big Brother UK. But I didn't really get, like, that much out of her there, especially, I guess, compared to the rest of her cast, because she was on pretty good seasons. But in terms of the challenge, got a decent amount. Like, I would be very, like, happy to have Gabby back, but I also, if you told me that there was another rookie coming in who would be on par with Gabby, like, sure, bring them instead. I would not be heartbroken if she's not here.
But also, they used this episode to essentially set up her storyline for the next season, yeah. Where they talked about that, like, Tori Deal getting all of that. It's not airtime, but all of that, you know, time being talked about in an episode in a season where she has been out for like 2 months now. It really feels like they're trying to set up so that next season is going to be, you know, Fessy comes in, Tori and Gabby are both here. Where is he going to go? How can we play out this love triangle even further? I don't know if Tori has any interest in Fessy still, because we did hear, or maybe you didn't hear because it was talking too fast, but on the podcast, she talked about how she's like, because Corey made that prediction about like, yeah, you guys uh-huh. are going to be together for a year, go to Mexico, this, that, whatever. She's like, that didn't happen. We did, you know, hang out a little bit when he got back, and we decided to see, you know, how things would go. But we're better off as friends. So I don't think that she's planning to make a life with Fessy, make a home with him. But at the very least, you know, you could still see more hooking up if she's still single. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see, especially because it seems like the way Fessy talks on like every appearance, but mostly like the after shows is what I'm talking about right now, is he is constantly putting down like every other woman that he's seen talking to on the show, seemingly in hopes of, like, downplaying it for Tori's sake, I have read at certain points. Mm-hmm. Like, Ashley and Gabby and everything. Like, he's like, oh, and, like, little, like, Gabby was like, you know, fun was in the house, but, like, that's nothing. But then they flash to this week. He left Gabby, like, a note on her pillow, like, I'll see you after I win the final, and, like, all this stuff. So I still am reading into that. In terms of, like, Fessy's hopes for the future, but I'm curious to see once they get back in that challenge house how that does play out. And I think you're right that does lend to Gabby's chances being higher and coming back.
Yeah, I mean, we all were so, you know, over the Kyle and Kara and Pauly thing when that was happening, and now we're getting Tori, Fessy, and Gabby. I mean, is that the trade we're looking to make? I don't know. See the, you know, the investment on my end showing up in anything Fessy related. You know, not taking too much of an issue with the fact that he's going to probably be cast in the next couple seasons. Obviously, he's a big guy. He's had a lot of drama brought around him this season with whether it was Anissa or Tori or Gabby or just anything Big Brother related. So obviously they have stuff to work with him, but I don't know. I'm just not the most invested in this love triangle, but just pointing out the fact that I do think it exists. And, you know, mm-hmm. if all three of them are there, it will probably continue to be explored.
Yeah. So, I was going to say, I prefer the Leroy, Cam, Theo of it all, but I can't stand to see Cam and Leroy not together. So I'm walking that back.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe Amber and Michi will both come back, and then we'll throw somebody else in the mix there. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know.
I'm not confident on that one.
Higher on Amber than I am on Michi's chances for that, but I don't know. Gabby did get the I'm sure we'll see you in the future. So, mm-hmm. you know, not just like a take care kind of thing.
Yeah. So that's, you know, I'll be happy enough. I mm-hmm. think that, like, looking of the rookies on this cast, she might be, I think she probably is the most likely rookie to come back, maybe outside of Natalie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Natalie's not a rookie at this point. Yeah. Natalie is, as much as Gabby's probably been on similar to the same amount of, no, Natalie still has her bead. She's been on like 4 before the challenge, right? Yeah. So, I don't know, whatever. Okay, that aside. You want to talk about the challenge itself? The one that we started the episode off with? Yeah. Why do I like this show?
Remember when we said, well, this looks exciting, but I've seen exciting looking challenges flop before.
Yeah.
That was that.
I don't think I realized it was going to be so eating heavy. And as much as every season of the show is going to guarantee to have the eating, it doesn't make it any more fun when it's just a montage of, you know, a river of upchuck from every single contestant. It's like, mm-hmm. I mean, Corey, like, is one of the most attractive guys in the show, many people would say, but not when he's every other scene for about 30 minutes of the episode. Just, moving on. So gross.
It's not fun.
Never been fun.
No, it's definitely not. Like, you can have eating challenges. I think they're a little outdated. I'm not a, like, huge fan of them. But if you're going to do them, like, you could show them puke once. It doesn't, I get it. I don't need to see it over and over and over.
It's too much. But a lot of people in this challenge were not planning on winning. A lot of them have, you know, again, it goes back to the format and everything with the skulls and just how this exact game has been being played. The way that people can, you know, have their partner stolen, and Fessy talked about that early on. Like, I can't win today because if I win, I can't be stolen, and I want to be stolen away from Anissa, because he's been on that for weeks now. So he knows that he can't win, and Nani knows that she doesn't need to win. And Leroy at one point, maybe we should pause that and talk about Leroy, because he made a comment about how he said that he and Casey need to win to get Nani her skull. Were you confused by that? Because I was confused at first, but then I think I walked myself into a possible explanation.
I mean, I didn't really think about it too much, to be honest. I took it as just a, like, tell us why you needed to win this week type confessional, where, like, oh, we need to figure out a reason. But I'm curious to hear what you thought.
I figure that Leroy wants to keep Casey as his partner for now. I don't know if him and, you know, yeah. we don't know what him and Cam are planning for the final. We haven't exactly seen if they're going to run together or not, if they have the option to make that even happen. But if Cam is not going to be his partner, Casey being his partner is a great option. So I feel mm-hmm. like they knew that, you know, if Nani was going to, or Nani or Gabby, whoever was going to win, they just wanted to make sure that Leroy and Casey being split up was not a possibility.
That's a very good point, because I want to talk more when we do get to the elimination over the options, but I had not considered how likely it was probably that Nani could end up picking Leroy here.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that she would have. I know that obviously a lot of talk was being made about mm-hmm. Fessy here and people that wanted to pick him. And obviously, like, he was even saying, you know, I know whoever goes into the eliminate or comes out of the elimination tonight is picking mm-hmm. me. But if there was a brief possibility at all that anybody was going to want to take Leroy, Nani and Leroy are friends. And, like, I don't know, maybe it wasn't something that was discussed between Leroy and Nani, saying, like, I'm going to win for this exact reason. But I can mm-hmm. see it being a behind the scenes, like, maybe Cam and Leroy put out a YouTube video and they talk about, we wanted to make sure that Leroy was protected with Casey. I don't know. Just a thought.
Yeah, that's fair. I would be curious to hear that. I don't know if they would say that publicly, considering how close Leroy and Nani are. Mm-hmm. Like, we wanted to make sure that Nani couldn't pick Leroy. Like, not the best thing to hear if you're Nani.
Yeah.
Even though, like, I think Nani would admit that, like, yeah, Casey is, like, a beast. Like, there's no arguing. So I think she would get it, but I don't know that they would say it publicly mm-hmm. at the same time.
But speaking of Cam, we had Cam and CT. We saw their new partnership being put to the test here, and Cam is not really a big fan of working with CT compared to how she was working with Kyle, because as we have known for a long time of how CT talks to people, it's just a lot of grunting, and she's like, I don't understand a word he's saying. This is not working out.
Yeah, and you get CT even saying, like, Cam's not really trying that hard. I feel like I would have been better off with Big T. So, karma. Like, you know, I'm happy for it. But I feel like we're getting notes of, like, this partnership is not working. So whether they make it to the final and it costs them there, or they get split up before that, like, I don't feel like we're going to see this duo winning. For sure.
Yeah, I feel like CT is like, this is such a weird example. But I feel I'm calling something in my brain is calling back to some either TV show or movie that I saw when I was younger of like some kind of like somebody that wanted to adopt a child, and they went to the adoption agency and they were like, give me the best, the smartest, the most well-behaved one. And then, you know, they brought the child home and it was like, you know, peeing on the rug or like not behaving or whatever. And they're like, this is what you gave me. And so he picked out like what he thought was the best partner. And then Cam is, you know, not wanting to win this challenge. And he's like, this is what I have as a partner. It's like, it's one challenge, CT, shut up.
I wish you could have seen my face through this story, because I have no idea what show this is. I'll go with it.
I honestly could be making it up. It could have been a dream. No, but I'm pretty sure this sounds familiar. It's I promise. There's something deep within my brain that is being called back on that I can't find it. Maybe it wasn't a child. Maybe it was like about an animal. Maybe it was about a dog. We can easily confuse the two. But there is something that is being recalled in my brain to make me have that example come up.
I'll trust you. That's fine. I was just very confused as to where we were going. And it's like, oh yeah, so a CT adopts a child. And I was like, okay, where are we going here?
Well, you were probably taken so aback there, because that's your plan.
He is 40, so.
Right. He adopted a 10-year-old? I think
the 10-year-old is probably the move.
That's the move. That's where my head was at watching that. I was like, he's just not happy, whatever. I don't care what CT is happy about these days, so whatever. Amber and Darrell, they were both trying because they wanted to protect their skulls. Okay, cool. Moving on.
Yeah. You do get a confessional from Darrell being like, I see that Amber is struggling, which makes me a little nervous about her in the final. Could be nothing, but I just always think it's worth looking at, especially when we're this close to a final.
True.
People referencing like struggles that they may have and or problems they may have with their partner.
If there's any kind of swimming in the final and Leroy's there, Leroy's, you know, showing that he's a strong swimmer lately. So mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, all the clues could be there that we are trying to piece together along the way. Corey and Gabby also did pretty well. They almost ended up getting the win there because Gabby was hoping to get the win, it seemed like. Corey was enjoying all of the cheese water, and I don't ever want to say the term cheese water again.
Oh, no. Yeah, I don't want to hear about that.
Yeah. And Fessy's like, oh, yeah, Gabby's like, you know, shoving all these whatever testicles in her mouth. I don't know if I can kiss her later. And then we cut later on to see the two of them, you know, very much kissing and crawling into bed together and cuddling up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe that's what it was I was telling you I forgot something. They were saying, like, at the beginning of the episode, like, Fessy had actually, like, hung a sheet up. So maybe there was more than kissing. Maybe this relationship wasn't quite as innocent, or, like, you know, Fessy was one to downplay. So maybe they were a little more serious than we thought they were.
I'm going
to
tell you, there was not one second where I expected that was not the case.
I am just
trying to confirm. I know Haley always wants like confirmed coitus points in the draft, so I'm keeping the eye out there.
I think we probably could have checked that off the did that happen list a couple weeks back, but yes, fair enough. So yeah, and the other highlight here of the challenge, if you can even call it that, Nani TJ getting into it, because Nani's like, I'm not eating, TJ. Like, this is your game. You've set it up in a way where I can have my friends put me into elimination. She didn't say all this, but essentially did. She's like, I don't have to eat this testicle in order for me to go get my gold skull. And she was proven right by the end of the episode. So suck it, TJ.
Yeah, that's fair. In the after show, they also referenced how apparently Kyle was like two bites away from finishing and then Nani quits. Like, he could have just eaten it all at that point. Like, he was like very surprised by that. I also really liked where you get the visual of like Kyle barely touching the medicine ball that they're pretending is a bomb, and Nani's like holding the entire weight of it on her. Like, she did that for 2 hours just to quit from two bites from the finish of the food. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
I guess they did not realize it was going to be an eating challenge, you know, while they did the first portion of it. But
food was on the table. They could all smell it.
That's true.
It was open by that point. You know that's happening.
That's true. I didn't think about it that way. But yeah, no, I mean, look, I don't know why any of these people are doing any of the eating if they don't plan on winning the challenge. You see that Nani is not eating. What are you doing still eating? Like, I don't know. You just don't want to be yelled at by TJ? Maybe that's enough.
I would not want to be yelled at by TJ. So that is fair.
I don't want to be yelled at by TJ either, but I'm not eating that testicle. So, like, count me out. But yeah, Leroy and Casey get the win. No surprise there. Nani knows that they're going to help her get the gold skull, which is, you know, exactly how this was all planned out, as we saw. Like, going into even the deliberation and the voting, I don't have a whole lot here because there was such short segments. But, you know, the two girls went down there being like, we want to be the ones to go in. Thank you all for voting for us and making sure this happens. Obviously, none of you want to go in because, you know, you don't want to lose your skulls, and there's still one available. So we're hoping that you're going to put us in. And obviously, that's exactly what the house does. So really nothing to, you know, speculate on. It was just all exactly what it was.
Yeah, there's a couple things. Just during the challenge, also, like, Fessy being so obvious about throwing it, I thought was interesting. Going then into the conversation that Corey and Fessy have in this episode, where they do talk about Tori, like, pretty explicitly. There's confessionals. I am imagining the edit, like, if there were not leaks about Fessy and Tori hanging out, like, would we be getting this edit? And, like, if Tori and Jordan were still together, would we be getting this edit? Like, those are questions that I have constantly thought about, and how much more cringy it would have been even on top of that, that they're talking about Tori, and if she was still engaged to Jordan, like, I don't know why he felt so, like, confident going ahead into the confessional and releasing this, but sure.
Yeah, it did feel a little weird. I, again, just kind of chalk it all up to the fact that they expect all, at least the two of them, will be on next season, and, you know, they'll have some kind of continuation of this storyline. Like, they're obviously invested in Tori at this point with the podcast and everything, so I don't know. It just seemed like something that they were like, if we don't talk about this again when it happens on next season and it gets talked about, you know, it's like, it's not going to come up. But I did think it was weird because, you know, all of the times that we talk about, you know, Kara's been gone, Bananas has been gone, and where do they talk about those two anymore? Where do, you know, if somebody is not in the game, they usually don't get referenced a whole lot. Bananas got one mention in this entire season so far, and it was from Devin, who was like, I've taken out Bananas, I've taken out Wes, now I want to get CT, which he didn't. He was trying to create himself a little Mount Rushmore there. But when we talk about Tori and Jordan just randomly, it was so weird to me.
Yeah, and I get why they show it, especially given the events post-challenge filming.
Yeah.
But for Fessy to go in there and be like, yeah, I can't help how I feel, like, when they're still together on the outside world, is a ballsy move. It's an interesting move. I don't know why. You're going to have to see Tori, even like if they have not broken up, and then what now? So it's interesting.
For sure could have been something that became a huge thing at the reunion, which just filmed. Could have been like a last minute addition that, like, if they did put this into the episode out of nowhere, maybe it did come up at the reunion and that's why they want to remind us. So, you know, all these different possibilities. Yeah, no, I still have a couple of other things. I mean, from the deliberation, Kyle was asking, or not asking, he was like really hoping that Nani wasn't going to leave her for a new partner. And everybody was asking both of them, like Nani and Gabby, are you guys going to switch partners? And they were like, oh, we don't know. I don't know. Like, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. I think everyone knew what was going to happen there.
Right. And Anissa, you know, we'll get into the Anissa thing in a second, but just the fact that she was sitting there, like, knowing that she was about to have her partner taken, most likely, it was kind of awkward, but, you know, that's what it was.
Yeah. I also really did like the forward thinking. At least it was shown from Cam, I'm sure from probably a few other players too, but people throwing votes on Nani and Kyle
in case
of another security breach. Cam was the only one who vocalized it that we saw, but other people like CT and I think was it Casey or Cam or a couple other people, Casey was in the power, but you know, a couple people had that thought, and I think it was a very good one where, like, you know, just in case an idol is played, like, let's throw votes on someone else. You never know what's going to happen, especially after last week. So I like, yeah, CT and Cam are the two that I'm seeing immediately, and I think that that makes sense coming from those two.
Season after season, just Cam continuing to impress on all different aspects of her game. Like, I just, and that's why it gets me, like, so irked when people are, like, critical towards her. Like, I don't know, I get that there are times where she's a little bit hypocritical in some of her confessionals, and I know that we've called her out on that kind of stuff, but when people give the whole like, oh, she's so high on her own supply, like she deserves to be looking at this cast here and, like, looking at the all the players in recent seasons, for me, number one on the board of the smartest players in the game, in the house.
I can next to guarantee you that every person that says that is also, like, a Johnny and Wes fan.
Probably.
So, yeah. You lose. Like, there's no argument you can come back with. Mm-hmm. If I see you rooting for Johnny or Wes, then don't talk to me about Cam. Like, there's no way you could say anything.
Yeah, no, that's probably accurate. I mean, I, as much as I love my Ashley Mitchells and I love every other, you know, all these other people that I'm out here for, Big T, you know, is definitely rising and being a great game player. But Cam has every aspect of this game on lock, and she doesn't let the control slip out of her fingers at all. And if it ever happens, she finds a way to rebound. The way that she's always planning ahead for this kind of stuff. If she was on Survivor playing this kind of gameplay and whatever, like, the way that, like, the people podcasting about the show each week would be all over her. Like, she is constantly, like, since we met her back in, like, it was Vendettas was her first season. I want to say it was in Final Reckoning, though, with her and Kaylee, that they won in one of the weeks, and they put the whole plan together there to make some big move get pulled off. And people were like, oh, wow, like, this girl is here to play.
Yeah. And, kind of unnecessary that week, but it's shown Cam is thinking about this game in a ways that a lot of other people are not. And I just like to flag up that this week was another, you know, more under the radar way of that, which I think is probably even better for her game.
So, and, like, she's, you know, good enough to the point where I'm out here trying to give credit for things that I don't even know are 100% true. But the whole maybe that's why Leroy and Casey wanted to win this week. The theory that I had, you know, 25 minutes ago. I just assume that that's how they're always thinking.
Yeah, definitely fair.
So there's that. But you want to talk about Fessy and Anissa here, as Fessy was, you know, getting a little bit annoyed, as he has been for weeks now, about how, you know, Anissa is still clinging on to him because obviously he's a good partner to have going into the final. But Anissa was going through it there at the end, as she and Nani had a bit of a moment where she was really getting emotional that it was all going to get taken away from her yet again. I mean, how many challenge seasons has she done? A lot. How many finals has she made it to? Two, I think she said, two, three, four, whatever it was.
Maybe.
It doesn't always work out for her, and I think every time she gets to this point in the game, she probably goes through something like this. But this season in particular, she's got a great partner by her side, and she knows she's not keeping him.
Yeah, I felt for Anissa, especially when she was talking about, like, I just don't want to get out of here and watch someone talk about how they don't want to be with me, and they're trying to, like, escape being my partner. And that's what she's seeing. Like, that, she's talked about it on the podcast. She's talked about it on the aftermath. Like, that part sucks. I wish that Fessy had been a little more direct. The part with Fessy that annoys me the most is where he's talking about, like, it's perfectly fine. You don't want to be with Anissa. You don't want to be with Nani. You don't want to be with whoever.
that's fine. But when he's talking about how, oh, Anissa's so selfish for wanting to be with me, like, it is $1 million. You threw your supposed, like, second best friend in the house at the time under the bus for a gold skull in, like, week 4. So, yep. Like, you are the one who everyone else is, like, talking about as, like, the most selfish player here, and you're gonna call her selfish for trying to give herself the best shot of winning $1 million? Like, yeah, sorry. You're on your second season, and, like, these are the game rules. Like, no one blames you for trying to, like, pick someone else, but don't blame Anissa for also trying to give herself the best way to win.
I'm so excited for the possibility, just the thought and the possibility that going into next season, that as many have said, that people are not going to let Big Brother do their thing again because they know what the gameplay is like now. And I'm just hoping that they find a way to not let these guys walk through it in the same way that they did this season, and let Fessy build up this confidence about his game and feeling like he is, you know, the new challenge god and the one that, you know, everybody, like, I echo everything that you just said. It's just the way that he's approaching talking about the game, both in the after show and in the confessionals. It's like, come on, like, at least be, you know, like, if you're going to play the way that you're going to play, like, if you're going to not want to be with Anissa, I get it. At times I get it, whatever. But yeah, just the way that he talks about a lot of these different things is not very easy to want to be rooting for him, to be on his side. Yeah.
I just wish, like, there are eliminations this season that Fessy would have lost or very easily could have lost. Like, the one where you are in a harness up in the air swinging around, like, that's going to be hard for Fessy with his weight. It was hard for CT. It was hard for Josh. And so, like, any week that comes up, just give me one where he gets thrown in and struggles, God forbid loses, would be thrilled. Like, I need that humbling for Fessy, and I don't want them to, like, oh, like, Fessy's so strong, let's cast someone even bigger. Like, no, because then they're going to be the new Fessy. Like, right. I just want him to go into an elimination that is not a hall brawl. And, like, I get you can win that one, but hopefully next season, where people are on to Big Brother, maybe they don't have the gold skulls, so people are actually not trying to throw themselves into elimination, then Fessy gets thrown in multiple times, has to win, like, a crapshoot, maybe, like, a puzzle, like, something else, then I will be, you know, let's see him back that up at least first.
Yeah. Nani is going to now be Fessy's new partner. So any final thoughts for that situation? Was this the best move she had available on the board? Should she have done anything else?
I think probably the best move. I think there's an argument to take, like, a Darrell, who is very clearly, like, Darrell's shown himself to be good at puzzles last week. He's incredibly fit. He's a runner. He is all of the above. Like, and I know Fessy is all of that too, but it's just a matter of preference, I guess, at that point. You can't pick Leroy, who I don't think she picks, but definitely was an option.
Josh would have wanted her to take Fessy, okay? That is why this had to happen, and no other pick made sense. So, otherwise, she would have stuck with Kyle. I mean, Kyle's not a bad partner, but, I mean, Fessy's obviously looked at as, you know, the top contender right here, right in this moment. Yeah. So Leroy's also, you know, not available. He's a double agent. So Josh would have wanted it to be Fessy, and Fessy it will be. So Nani and Fessy, you know, run off into the rest of the season together.
I do also live my life by WWJD and wouldn't Josh do? So I try to always make the opposite decision of what would Josh Martinez do if he was in this situation, because yep. I don't trust the decision making. But yeah, I feel like it probably is the best move. We haven't done this in a little while. I am curious to hear who you think winners and losers of all these trades going on.
So the four people that are now all... Yes. There's another pair, because Big T and Corey... No!
Yep,
I didn't have that in my notes. My brain was not, you know, or my, I don't know, my thoughts did not allow me to translate that into note form. So yeah, the Corey curse continues, obviously, here, and that is sucky for Gabby. Big T now being there, I'm not allowing myself to think of the world of whatever is going to happen next. Being the partner there in this setup. But I mean, I guess you got to put Big T at the bottom just by virtue of this curse has proven to be a thing. And I am going to have a hard time convincing myself of anyone else being at the bottom other than Big T, even if you want to make an argument for Kyle or Anissa. I'm putting Big T at the bottom, sadly. I think after that, you could probably put Kyle now that he has Anissa mm-hmm. as his partner. And I don't care like about Anissa's actual ability in the game, like regardless of, oh, maybe she's not, like, you know, we saw her in the mini final. Yeah, her and Kyle didn't do the best. She also insisted to us that she wasn't trying to do the best because it wasn't the final. She didn't have to win that. Mm-hmm. So maybe she kicks it into another gear in the final. I don't know. But the point is that like anybody that has had Anissa as a partner has extremely low morale going into any daily challenge, sure. any final. Like if they don't have that, you know, feeling of we can do this, that's already, you know, you're already halfway behind everybody else. So you got to put, I think, Kyle next. Anissa can be fine above Kyle for me there because what does it make a difference? She went from, you know, Fessy's a strong partner, Kyle's a strong partner. Sure, maybe one's better than the other, but I think it's not a huge difference there. Mm-hmm. At the top, you probably put Nani, followed by Fessy, who upgraded, I guess you could say, from Anissa to Nani. And did I miss anybody? Corey, what's the difference to Corey?
Yeah, Corey, it's about the same, I feel like.
Yeah.
Maybe Gabby is better suited for a final than Big T, but I feel like they match up decently, at least. So, mm-hmm. You know, get that Big T social game CT is now missing out on.
Yes. So, do you have any different order than whatever nonsense I just
No,
put out
that's
there?
About it. I quibbled with Nisa or Corey in the middle mm-hmm. there in terms of who ended up lucking out, because I do think Kyle is pretty underrated and not, like, that much worse than Fessy yeah. in a final. But
he beat Fessy last season, so
that is true. It's very possible. I mean, I think Kyle is very well-rounded, and mm-hmm. not that Fessy is not, but I think Kyle is generally underestimated going into a final specifically.
Yep. You know who else is underestimated? Everybody that's not you in a draft. We have a draft update for you guys because I feel like I always forget to do that. But in case anybody cares, in our draft with, you know, Haley and Colin, we have Scally in the lead. I think I sent you a version that had 49 points before, but I believe you have 50. I think I had to change something on the Big T counter. Yeah, wow, you really needed more points. So 50 points for Scally. I am in second with 35 points, and I should say who we have left. You have Fessy, Cam, Leroy, Anissa, and Big T still left. 5 out of 12 remaining players. Wow. I have Casey, Corey, Kyle, and Nani left, so 4 out of 12, not bad, with 35 points on my team, so I really could use like a Casey and Kyle or Corey. I don't know that I see it for Nani getting the win there, but that would help me out. In third place, we have Colin, who still has 3 players, Darrell, CT, and Amber B. And that was 25 points. I don't know if I said that. And then Haley, with 24 points, sadly will be finishing this in last because all of her players are now out with Gabby off.
You hate to see it. The most standable team, though.
Yes, we sent that over to Haley before. Her response, rough. So.
Yeah. It's a tough one.
Yes, definitely the most standable team, for sure. And I'm sure that will continue into the next draft, and the next draft, and the next draft, and the next draft mm-hmm. for that part of things. And jumping down to our must-lose draft, we checked across the scores with Brian and Allie earlier just to make sure everything lined up, and it did from what I've been keeping track. We have, right now, the Brian and Allie team. Allie still has Amber and Kyle left on her team. She needs them to lose. Again, this is must lose. Allie has 12 points, and Brian has 5 points with still Big T, Leroy, Darrell, and Cam still in the game. So he needs all of them to lose. So the two of them have a total of 17 points by now. My team, I have 11 points with Nani, CT, and Fessy still in the game. You have 9 points with Anissa, Corey, and Casey still in the game. So we have 20 points to their 17. So we are doing pretty good so far, but like you said about the other draft, it is really going to come down to the final eventually. So
yep, that is what it is. Yeah, that final is worth, you know, quite a bit of points. So yes. Going to ultimately come down to that.
Yes, indeed. So that's that. And then, you know, sooner or later, we will have the OGs season started. I'm sorry, the All-Stars season starting. So that is the third draft that I have on my document here. So we'll get, you know, some scores up on that board whenever that starts up, which it does sound like is still sooner than we ever would have expected. So I don't know about next week or anything like that, but ooh. I do believe we're getting it, you know, soonish.
I'm hoping that this season and All-Stars don't overlap, but
I think they might. You
really?
I don't know. I did, you know,
I feel like that's a bad
choice. I don't have any MTV insider that's telling me anything, but like it's just from what people have been talking about, it does seem like it could be a little bit sooner. Right. Probably not for long, but
we'll have
you
to figure out how to talk about that. I think I did also give more thought to the name All Stars. I like it better.
Me too.
In terms, because I think they're leaving it open to bring in, like, let's say a Tony or a, like, Teresa again, like, or, you know, people, no, not that Teresa wouldn't fit OGs, but people that you wouldn't necessarily would say are OGs, but we're not getting on the challenge anymore. So I think that All Stars ultimately leaves them a lot more wiggle room in the future, which I get.
I fully agree. I think that definitely is a better title to be able to work in. You know, once the OGs disappears from the title, nobody can complain about the fact that Jemmy was there, you know, or whoever else. So I think they'll still definitely focus on getting OGs out there. Anybody that, you know, will say yes on that end of things, assuming they do another one, which I don't see any reason why not to, but I've, you know, no idea. We'll see how this one goes. So yeah, I'm excited for that for sure. But that is all that I have for this week. Anything else that we didn't cover?
No, I think we're good as far as the show goes. I don't even know. Hopefully they appropriately time next week's episode, whether that be 60 or 90 minutes. But yeah, I'm just excited for the next one.
Yep, same. We still have a couple more friends that we are hopefully going to get in here to talk about the challenge with along the way before we close out the season. So probably a couple more guests, one or two more before we get out of here for good for this season. I think this is episode 13 and we said that there were 19. So we're getting there.
Wow.
We are getting there, slowly but surely. So let me turn over to you for a 10-minute session of plugs for everything you've done in the past week.
Let's see. Well, there is, as usual, just follow me on Twitter, @Brian_Scally. That's where you're going to find anything that I may or may not forget to say, but we'll go through. I was on the RHAP Reality Rewind with Rob and Chappelle talking about Battle of the Network reality stars, including some of the OGs from the challenge that we will not be seeing on the next season, and even one that we will in Trishelle. But, you know, nice to revisit Coral, The Miz, Theo, and Melissa over there. So definitely fun to talk about that over there with them. I also did the Saturday morning live feed update for Big Brother RHAP coverage, so that was a lot of fun. You know, if you're still catching up on the live feeds, they've been very good this week. Definitely recommend this season of Big Brother Canada. And otherwise, like I said, I will be retweeting
Brazilian dragon.
Yeah, the Brazilian podcast. Dragon Pod. I have plugged that on here in the past, but it's evergreen. People should always be looking for more top five movie content in the Scooby-Doo movie, Brazilian Dragon Podcast. So it's an evergreen podcast that can be listened to as many times as you please, as many as I've seen the movie even.
Well, I don't trust you with your own plugs anymore after the time that you did not plug the upcoming Renap that you were on when it was like 2 days after you could have plugged
Well, I didn't expect the Sunday change, so I did not think that we would be so far out from the next set of plugs.
I guess. well, check all that out. For me, I got nothing. I got this, and Amon and I are doing Glee podcasts, but I still don't feel like there's a whole lot of crossover, and if you are listening to that, you already know that that exists. But yeah, no, nobody invites me anywhere besides this, so I will be here, and I will be talking about the challenge until Colin fires us. So at least we have this going, and I don't know. Am I even on any Twitch streams lately? No, not really. I mean, no, hide and seek, but, you know, that's not really something you plug. There's like 100 people there. It's like not, you know, it's not like anything too personal with like, oh, come see me on hide and seek. But
there will be a family game night very soon, I am sure, that you will be popping on. So whether that is Codenames or Scribble.io or whatever else, Kirsten is constantly hosting those too.
She is. My problem is, like, last week, you know, I was like, I'm just so tired.
I get it.
I forget about this thing where, like, you know, people used to, before, you know, 2020 happened, that, like, people would, like, go to work and then you would get home and you'd be tired. And then, like, you would go to work the next day and then you'd come home and you would be tired. And then you do that five times in a row.
It is the worst.
And then on the weekends, it would go by really fast. And then next thing you know, it was Monday again. I forgot about all that.
Yeah. No. I like the home. Yeah. I don't need that to change. Yeah. But yeah, it is a thing.
that's what we have for this week. We will see you guys next week. I think we have a guest next week. I think that's what we were planning on. So hopefully, you know, that's some fun coming in. Yeah, we'll see how it goes with all that. So thank you guys for checking this one out. Make sure you're checking out everything that Dom and Colin are doing over on the main feed and the patron feed. Check that out as well. They've got double the content being put out right now. So what a world. What a time to be alive. So thank you guys for checking this one out. We will see you next time. Take care. 45 minutes of wrapping up the show later.